happiness or distress, both are material. We should not be attached to them.
Yeah, that's why we have to see with the equal vision. So if you become happy too much, then you carried away. Then if you are too much sad, then you give up service. So but somehow, you can have that equilibrium. It's tough, but it can be done.
But sometimes when you are in a lot of misery and pain, your concentration is on the pain. I noticed that it's very hard to,
Yeah, it is tough, I agree. Yeah, completely agree. That's where, we are going to test it. We will be tested. Where we stand on the spiritual. It's like a weighing this thing. I think Prabhupada used that example. It's a weighing thing. Right now we are, spiritually we are here and materially we are weak. So once anarthas gets, clear, then slowly your spiritual thing will become heavier. So then you can taste and you can deal with situations easily. But then you need to have a knowledge. The only solution we have is, if you have a knowledge, then you can get detached from things. So knowledge and detachment goes together. So if you have proper knowledge, then you can detach from things. Basically, we are attached to a lot of things now. That's why we feel the pain. So if you don't have attachment, then automatically you will be happy actually. So we'll go to text 58. We'll continue with that. So the text 58 is, which question is this? Which Krishna is answering. And 58 and 59, right? So how does he sit? So Krishna is going to answer in text 58 and 59 the third question, what Arjuna asks, how does he sit, a transcendental person, and what's the hidden meaning or the more deeper meaning of how does he sit? So how does he not engage his senses, right? Or even the other way of putting this is, when the senses are restrained, for example, what's the mentality of us? So you see something, if you see something very nice eatable, very delicious eatable, you see, but it's not offered to Lord. So what happens? What's your the state of mind? What's your mentality? So that's what... Yeah, so that's what Arjuna is asking. How does the person who is in transcendentally situated, how does he, when his senses are controlled, what's his mentality, what does he think? So he's asking. That's a good example, right? If you see something, very delicious, which you really like, and it's not offered, can you control your senses? Or if you restrain, right, whether you will get agitated, your mind will become disturbed. If you cannot eat, right, if your hands are tied, but mind, you cannot tie. So what's your consciousness at that point of time? Are you going to, be in pure consciousness, or your mind is disturbed? So that's what, so Krishna is going to tell us how to behave that kind of circumstances. So let's read the Sanskrit together.
Should I play?
Yes, bro, you can play. I know it's so tough to follow that. Only Rakesh Prabhu can sing like that.
Rajesh Prabhu.
Yeah? It's
it may be tough to sing like that, but okay, let's read whatever. Yeah, we'll try our best to.
Yada samarate chayam kurmo angam ivya sarvashah indriyani yavyas tasya prajna pratisthitah. Yada samarate chayam kurmo सर्वशः इन्द्रियाणि इन्द्रियस्य तस्य प्रज्ञा प्रतिष्ठितः.
One can only thank the teachers that it's not a memorization verse.
Mataji, you can read. You want to read the translation?
One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. The perfect?
Yeah, see, it's a very beautiful analogy here, right? Mm. The tortoise. So tortoise, have you touched any time tortoise? Moving tortoise?
Mm-hmm.
So immediately when you touch,
it
closes all the things. So same thing here for us, especially, you know, that's what the one who is in the pure consciousness. So this is the symptom of a person who is in the pure consciousness. So he will be able to automatically withdraw the senses when there is, you know, like as we discussed, you know, when there is some sense objects, so what happens to the senses? Are you going to engage your senses, or are you going to withdraw and, you know, still remain peaceful, the mind not getting disturbed? So that's one of the symptoms of a person who is in pure consciousness. So that person will be able to do it. So let's see the
person. Isn't the tortoise doing it out of fear?
Tortoise maybe, yeah. But that's
it's
analogy we are. It's analogy similar, yeah. It's analogy for us to relate. You can read the purport.
The test of a yogi, devotee or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are thus directed by the education of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. The senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents, like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do-nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do-nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The best example set herein is the tortoise. The tortoise can at any moment wind up its senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious persons are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord and are withdrawn otherwise. Arjun is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own satisfaction. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise who keeps the senses within.
So as Prabhupada is saying, tortoise anytime it can show the senses, or, you know, and anytime it wants, as, you know, it can withdraw and it can keep it inside. So what is, so any of you, can you give some, you can share if you want. Like, do you come very regularly, as Prabhupada is saying here, aware, or most people aware are servants of the senses.
I think all of us are.
Yeah, no, it's true, that's what I, so any example, for example, you want to just share some of your daily life, which, you know, you are not able to control your senses. You know something is maybe not good, or according to the knowledge you have, something which you don't want to do it, but you're so addicted, or something which you cannot.
Anger, my anger is always instantaneous, so it's very difficult. So I always struggle.
But do you think, like after that incident or something?
Yes, I then later apologize, but then that's like, you know, breaking the container having milk.
Yeah.
I cannot take back the milk.
Especially words once said, it's very, you cannot cure easily.
Mm.
It stays longer. No, any of you, you know, you try it, you know, as intelligence says, you know, don't do it. Or, you know, I don't want to do it. But you're so used to, your senses are so used to doing it, you will be forced to.
Tea, coffee, morning tea.
coffee.
But do you, before drinking, do you think, you know, oh, I should not be drinking like that? Do you
actually
put any...
more about coffee during the day, like, because that is when the tea is, it just happens. But during the day, if you can, okay, yeah, I don't want to drink coffee today, but, you know, you pass by the cafeteria and, you know...
Yes. So all of us, so this actually, this, you know, that's why you, if you're not in, if you know, if you don't have that knowledge, strong, you know, the determination, at some, for some person it may be just a coffee or tea, but many times in many things we give up, we cannot, because we don't have that determination. So for me, you know, I was telling, this is, I'm trying. Of course, you all know my sports car, right? I like cars and all. That I gave up somehow. But reading news. No, reading news. I'm struggling for many years now, actually. So, if now also, you know, somebody says something at work. Oh, something happened like this. So, I just want to read maybe that particular one. So, I open something, maybe BBC or something. Then in the sites, right, there will be more things. No, it happened many times. Now also it happens. I'm sharing. So what I do is, after reading that particular one, then I see something, because I'm so used to it. Yeah, so I'm so used to it because I used to do these activities before. And I want to control now, but I'm giving up to my senses. I'm not able to do. It happens every time. And then after that, I come and I repent, actually. Because what I do is, you know, during New Year or something, Janmashtami or something, I try to tell, you know, Krishna that, you know, I don't want to read. I want to know, like, for discussing with others or, you know, to interact with others. Because I come to know anyways through friends. I don't have to go and spend a lot of time in reading news. I can do many other activities, actually, much more valuable things. But my senses are so strong. So whenever I read this, then immediately something pops up here. Then I click on that. So I end up spending only, you know, 15 half an hour just reading things.
Prabhuji, the interesting thing that they say is that everything that you read is about marketing, right? So people who are actually in the marketing profession, I don't know if any of us is. What it's all about engaging the senses and distracting them.
Yeah, that's
what
engaging
about
the senses on your own product.
No, making other people distract them. I mean, if companies like Microsoft and Google are not going to make any money out of you because
they will not make
from ads. But
yeah, they will not make. That's why it's very tough, you know.
But is being in the ad business that bad thing? Like,
at some point, if you are in devotional service, you will give up, actually. Once you understand what's the real goal of life, you will give up. See, the life is, if you have a very simple life, it's much more easier to practice devotional service. Simple life means you don't put, you know, a lot of effort to get money. See, these things, currently this market, it drives you, right? It drives, everything is based on money, right? But if you understand that, you know, I can practice devotional service very peacefully, just by doing some simple job, earning some, you know, not a big amount of money, then you can be happy in just doing something simple job instead of doing some i5 job or something. But this, that platform, it takes a lot of, you know, you need to practice sadhana and you need to understand. If you don't have strong foundation, you won't be able to practice. You won't be able to give up something and take something very simple and be satisfied. You cannot be able to do it. But yeah, once you realize something, you know, yeah.
Some professions actually can be ones which are not suitable for Krishna consciousness. Like,
oh, they change. Many people change. One guy had, he comes to temple, he has two or three, what is this called? Seven-Eleven. He had the stores. He owned, I think he is from Punjab, this thing, family, right? So they own 7-Eleven stores. So he went and came, asked Harivilas Prabhu, you know, what should I do? You know, because he has to sell meat, all those things, right? 7-Eleven. He has to keep everything, meat, everything.
Yeah.
Cigarette, drink, everything, you know,
everything
same non-that things which we don't want to do. So then he came and asked Harivilas Prabhu. Harivilas Prabhu said, you know, give some time and maybe, you know, if you find something, you can give up and you can do that one. But this person, you know, he was not able to do because his consciousness says, you're not doing the right thing. Because what happens if you especially, you know, the meat, right? Cow, the meat. Anything, actually, any activity, for example, cow, especially the people who eat cow, the person starting from the growing up the cows, right? No, bringing up them, feeding grass. From that person to person who buys the cows, and the person who cuts, and the person who eats and serves, they get the same amount of reaction. It's not that, you know, person who eats who gets more. The person who is selling the cow, he is going to get the same amount of reaction. So this guy 7-Eleven, so this 7-Eleven, the person, right, the devotee, so he was there for a few months. He was trying, you know, what to do, because that's his livelihood also, right? He has to earn to feed the family. But then his consciousness is saying, no, I should not be doing. Then finally, he sold. He gave up the
7-Eleven?
Yeah, he gave up the 7-Eleven. And he took something, maybe, you know, some other job or something. I don't know what he did, but he gave up 7-Eleven. So like that. So based on our, you know, I'm pretty sure, you know, jobs, you can do some jobs. It's not, you know, specific only. You can change jobs and you can leave. Yeah, based on the situation, and you have to always do it under the guidance. Like that person came and asked Harivilas Prabhu. Harivilas Prabhu told, you know, wait for, so don't make, because, you know, you make if you make decision on your own, voluntarily, then, you know, you will not start blaming others. Otherwise, what happens if I say something to you, oh, you stop this business, you know, you give up your job, you know, you try something, then what happens is if you are not successful in job, that job, because Krishna may put you more difficult situation. Then you may go back, you know, go back and, you know, start blaming the devotees or Krishna himself or devotional service only. You start thinking, you know, I took up devotional service, now everything is going, you know, not good for me. So that's why it's always, you know, expected you to understand things, and based on the knowledge what you gain, act on that. You know, of course, you can take suggestions, advice from senior people, but finally you have to make that decision. Then you will be much more safe, actually, on the thing. Yeah, it's tough, especially, you know, living in this kind of, you know, our jobs, right? You may be in marketing, you know, you have to market things, you know, which makes people, you know, go away from Krishna consciousness. What does all these phones do? Most of the kids, right? Kids use the phone.
They claim,
you know,
that they make a smart but apparently.
Yeah, it says smartphone, but I don't know what really smart it's making.
Smartphone, but dumb people.
No, that's why it's making more dumb, actually. Smartphones are getting smarter, but people who use it's making more than dumb. But anyway, so there is always balance. So you always talk to somebody, you know, who can advise you properly, and you can make. Yeah, that's.
I feel there are also some benefits as well. It is up to us to choose what we want to do.
That's
smartphone
true.
Is not absolutely.
Yes, that's true. That's what, yeah.
Either.
Yeah. So smartphones, what do we do now these days? Smartphones, you know, we can record the lectures, right? We can record the audio, we can take the pictures. You don't need to carry camera, right?
Someone,
yeah, you can go to temple, you take the picture, so it can be used. So Prabhupada asked the same, somebody asked Prabhupada, you know, why are you using the material things? If you are saying, you know, one Prabhupada gave example of the mic, the speaker, whatever, the, what do you call it?
Microphone.
So he told the same, the musicians, they used to, same thing they used for all kind of music, right? Singing. But Prabhupada here, he was using it for giving the lectures. So it's a perfect use of that. So everything has a right way to use it, but because we don't know how to use it. So you take advice from somebody who can guide you in the right direction. Yeah, so the reading newspaper, the example I was giving. So now also I'm struggling with that one, especially, you know, whenever something comes, you know, I go read, then after that I realize I'm not doing the right thing. I can be doing so many other things which is helpful for my devotional service, but I'm not doing. So I repent. So for any activity, you know, what's the best thing to... So basically you beg forgiveness from Krishna, right? You pray to Krishna. So if you want to make your determination stronger, you're doing some activities which you are not able to, because you cannot do it on your own. The devotional service itself, you cannot do it on your own. You need lot of mercy, blessings, you know, support from the different people. So what the best thing we can do as individual is, if you repent, you do some, you know, activities which, you know, which is not good. So if you repent and if you pray to Krishna saying, you know, please forgive me, I should not have done this. maybe next time, please give me strength. On your strength, we cannot do anything actually. We'll just, you know, we'll be blown away. If you think, you know, I can do it, I know, I have some knowledge, I can do it on my own. If you stand, you'll be blown away by material modes. It's that strong material modes. But only thing you can do is you repent and you pray and you ask for strength. Krishna, give me strength. I want to do this. Then you can easily, it can be done. Because all the parampara of, right, from Krishna, or you get the strength from the parampara. And they are very merciful. The Vaishnavas are very merciful. So they will give you strength to deal. Otherwise, no, not devotional service, it cannot be done alone. It's not.
So can you ask Krishna directly?
Yeah, of course. You can pray, like whatever prayers, like that's what we are doing now. Every time we start the class, right? We pray for everybody. Because what I speak, you know, it's all really almost, you know, useless actually. Unless, you know, they give, you know, otherwise I can be talking so much nonsense actually if I don't. So I always pray, I can talk something which is relevant and which makes sense. So you can always recite some prayers, very powerful prayers. All these prayers are very powerful. And of course, Krishna, you can pray to Krishna directly. Yeah, Vaishnavas are very merciful. So the Prabhupada is giving example here, right? So, like, he is comparing the senses to venomous serpents. So serpents, have you seen in the street side what they do if the charmer is not there, right? If he doesn't do that, see, they also get attracted for the sound, right? He does the sound.
Mm.
Right? So if he doesn't do, then it eats him only. Actually, have you heard anything like that? That snake biting the charmer? Yeah, it do. He does it, if he doesn't do properly, right? That whatever the he do, they say something. If he does wrongly, you can bite him actually. And first of all, they take out the teeth. Yeah, they take out that one. So our senses are compared to that actually, serpents. Yeah, it's like a flute, it has bigger, you know, bulge kind of thing. Yeah, they get attracted by the sound.
Actually, by the movement of that.
Yeah, they can't.
I don't think
snakes
can see.
Yeah,
they can't hear.
It's called Chakshu Shrava, they hear by seeing.
Yeah, that's, I think, I thought the skin, they have that sense to hear, to the skin vibration or something.
Yeah, it hears the vibration.
They actually, this is that it's. They see that motion and then the he taps on the feet.
Right.
Yeah, something.
That's kind of the way to control it.
Yeah.
That's,
and
what
also,
I
that
too.
Yeah, that's what.
So you can use any instrument, right? Doesn't have
no,
to.
I
it's
don't.
Sound is just
sound
for people like us. Standing
on
in
no, it's like same for us. You know, you can hear so many other mantras, it won't work. Like only Hare Krishna mantra for us.
Yeah.
You can try. You know, Prabhupada said that actually. You know, you can try saying. Coca-Cola or something, you know, keep repeating. But at the end of, you know, after 1 hour, you will be so tired, you want to drink really Coca-Cola. But if you say, chant Hare Krishna mantra, you can be keep doing it for us, we are struggling to do for 2 hours. But the Ridas Thakur and all, they used to do for 21, 22 hours. Continuously chanting. Because they used to release the mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. It used to give, you know, so much of joy. Yeah, they were happy. And there are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do nots, and some of them are do's, right? So what are the regulative principles? For us, you know, we know 4 regulative principles, right? What are those 4 regulative principles?
No intoxication, no
gambling.
So let's relate how each one relates, you know, to practical something, right? It should relate. So for example, no meat eating. So what happens if you eat meat? What do you lose? What quality do you lose if you start eating meat?
Compassion.
You become ruthless, right? You never, no, you don't hesitate to kill anything. It becomes, you know, slowly your membranes, you know, the brain, whatever, it becomes so much of, I don't know. You don't hesitate to do anything. You will be very rough. Then what happened to intoxication? If you start drinking a lot, what happens to you?
Lose control.
You lose control. Then?
You think.
You cannot do austerity, right? You lose that. Devotional service is all about austerity, right? We want to control things, right? We want to give up things. We want to minimize our, you know, the dependency on the material things, right? We want to do so much of austerity, sitting 2 hours and chanting. But if you're drunk and all, how can you sit for, you know, you cannot even sit for a minute. So you lose that, you know, the quality. You cannot do the austerities. Then illicit sex. What happens if you engage in illicit sex? You lose cleanliness, right? You'll never have the cleanliness. You don't hesitate, right? I'm pretty sure you all can understand, yeah. It's very, can be so dirty, you don't even know what you're doing. And what's the other one?
Gambling.
Gambling.
Greedy.
Yeah, basically no control. You lose control, right? Once you get into it, gambling, you want a control. Right? You want more all the time. You want more. Gambling is like a wound, right? You keep scratching. Have you all been to Vegas?
Yes.
Pretty sure most of you. No. So if you go, maybe, you know, I've been once when I was in college. Yeah, I went. So if you go, maybe, you know, this is Vegas, right? So if you go outskirts, have you been, anybody drove? We went actually to just check out. Somebody told, you know, go see outside the Vegas. You can see a lot of.
Absolutely.
Huh?
It's all desert.
Desert, right?
No, it's desert, but there are some communities just outside, the, like outer ring, right? Like Vegas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just that road, after that road, there are communities.
They are not safe, right? That's what I heard.
Not safe,
that's true, yeah.
On the road.
People are there. You should maybe next time, you know, if you go somehow, you'll see all this, you know, their condition are so bad. So these people are the one who has lost things in the gambling.
Oh.
Who lost things, who cannot go back. So the people, those kind of people, they live around Vegas.
Oh.
No, they're very, very poor and they don't have things to eat. Because once they took up gambling, they could not control. They have to sell their thing. So if you go, just Vegas is, of course, it's all flashy, right?
Yeah.
You just drive. Somebody told us, so we wanted to check what's really there outside. We went and we were surprised, actually. How can this thing is all about money, rich people spend a lot of money. How come these people are, you know, they don't have any food to eat? They're lying on the street, lying down in everything. So much of contrast. Yeah, like ghettos, you know, they don't have anything. They don't, their mind has become crazy because they have become crazy. They became so insane. They don't know what to do now. So they lost everything. Yeah, so that's what gambling is. And also gambling causes speculation. That's very, the one thing which makes you. If you gamble, you always speculate things. Right? Gambling is speculation, right? I may get, I will get, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing, you start, you know, speculation in other things also, you start applying in other things. You know, I may get, you know, I may put some money in this stock, that may grow. Like, you know, that's all speculation. That's how it may start like that. Finally, it comes to our spiritual life also, you know. We start speculating, you know, maybe this is not the right path I'm doing. No, I should be trying something else. So basically, so things, these things we avoid because it's an it creates obstacles on our spiritual path. So that's the thing. So that's what is in the scripture. So that's why we try to not do things. And of course, there are so many do's, right? Always engaging, you know. What is that? Nine forms of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shravanam, right?
Dasyam,
Sakhi. So all that we try to do in any of forms you can engage, whatever you know you like or get attracted, you can be engaged in that kind of service. And especially the one the Prabhupada is given for us, it's called sadhana bhakti. It's a regulated devotional service. So he knows we are, you know, it's a gambling, you know. If you leave somebody, like, you know, one of us, we take new person and we leave, it's always speculation, right? We start speculating, you know, I will do this, I will do this, like this. You pick and do things. That's why Prabhupada made it very clearly. The path, you know, nicely gave sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti means regulated devotional service. So that's why we do chanting, fix 16 rounds, minimum 16 rounds, following four regulative principles, eating prasadam. So it's all fixed. So nobody can speculate on anything. So that's why he gave. Because we have cheating propensity, one of the defects. So he knew, you know, if he leave it to us to pick something, and he knows, you know, people will pick and do all this thing. So he gave already the whole program. Everything is there. So I think that's the points from. And Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord instead of for his own. So what is, so what does he, what did he want to do, Arjuna?
He
gave so
fight.
Many reasons. He didn't want to
fight.
And do what?
Duties.
Yeah. He didn't want to do prescribed duty, but he wanted to do what?
Go and beg God's help.
He wanted to go?
Beg.
Or you wanted to go to forest, right? Just go and do meditation. You wanted to do so many things.
But nothing of that. All of those things were coming from his attachment and emotional, like.
Yeah,
he
was.
I mean, nothing was about. How does all of those things relate to senses, right? So, you love your. I mean, there is a part where he explains about the soul and the atomicity of the soul, and don't worry, and you know, even if you kill them, nothing
yeah.
happen, and they're.
Yeah.
I've already killed them. All of those things are fine. They're logical, like, actually, flows.
Yeah.
But. Why is Dr. Krishna telling Arjuna about senses when whatever he said earlier was nothing to do with senses, right? So
his mind is one of the senses, right? Mind is one of the senses.
Attachment.
So it's because he's
acting on his own, right? On his own whim, actually.
Like, should he be behaving like a tortoise in terms of not seeing his?
No, the only thing he was supposed to do is follow Krishna's instructions. Fight war.
Right.
But he's not doing that, but he's trying to do everything else. He's trying to avoid his duty. As a warrior, Kshatriya, he is supposed to fight.
But how are Arjuna's senses at fault here?
Because it is because of his senses that he is being attached to his family members, which is also telling him not to fight with them. Whereas the right thing to do is basically to fight and follow Krishna's instructions.
No, his senses, basically his mind. He's trying to follow his mind, his own mind. So mind is one of the senses. So he doesn't want to use it in. He doesn't want to. He was not ready to listen to Krishna, so he's already is using. Then if he goes and begs as a Kshatriya, if he goes and engages his senses in begging, that's not the right use of his senses. So he has to use all his senses, right?
Oh, that's okay. Actual ideal question is he asked him, how do I control the senses? He asked so that goes.
Yeah.
So that's how he asks, right? He asks, wait, where is it?
Now to go back to where that came from, he said, in the beginning he says,
just do what I say. That fellow is not listening. He starts asking him what. He says, one by one he's doing.
He gives one by one reasons, right? So many reasons he gives. So, but the right thing for Arjuna is to listen to Krishna and just fight a war. So he uses senses, uses arrow, uses hand to, you know, shoot the arrows.
But the tortoise analogy was to, like, the way the tortoise withdraws its limbs and is able to kind of contain himself
inside.
Within it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how, you know, kind of
a person
to be in Krishna consciousness.
Yes,
right?
A person in pure consciousness. So whenever the senses needs to be used, he uses. So whenever the senses, he doesn't want to use it, he withdraws it. See, for example, for us.
But the tortoise is not in Krishna consciousness.
No, it's just analogy. He's just using. This is analogy. So Prabhupada is analogy to, you know, easily make it understand. It's not, yeah, you cannot literally say, you know, tortoise is doing this, but Krishna consciousness person is. You know. The tortoise is when you touch, he's scared, he puts his limbs in
the
tortoise.
Okay.
It's a withdrawal. It's just analogy, as you know.
But he's also reacting to senses only, right?
Yeah.
Out of fear. Yeah. When
he's
you touch, he feels
right?
Yeah, sense.
Yeah.
touch of sense, you know, you immediately withdraw.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just analogy how, you know.
Focuses on the withdrawal. Focuses on the withdrawal, not on the face.
And we use senses whenever we need it. So that's important. It's not that, you know.
So because the last sentence of that purport, it says, keeping the senses always in the service of Lord is the example set by the analogy of tortoise.
Mm.
Right? Who keeps the senses within.
Mm.
So
basically, he shows, he withdraws. It's always under his control.
So
it's
not, he does that. That's the example of the tortoise, saying analogy of the tortoise,
yeah.
Not the tortoise.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, not as tortoise, but it's just analogy, you know. Mm. How tortoise does, it shows its senses, it withdraws. So
that's
same thing, yeah, something, a person who is in pure consciousness, he uses senses whenever it's needed. If he doesn't need, he withdraws. And when he withdraws, his mind doesn't get disturbed. That's important. So I can withdraw myself, like as I said, right, newspaper. So I can withdraw, like I can turn off the monitor and say, but where is my mind? That is important.
Use senses sensibly.
So, Prabhu, that
you should know that sense.
Hearing Velukudi Swami speak about Vedavyasa and his son, right? Apparently, Vedavyasa's son, I think it's Shukra, I don't know. No, Vedavyasa's son. So he's going, his son is going away. He says everything else is all.
Sukadeva
Goswami. Yeah, Sukadeva Goswami.
Yeah.
He says everything else is just like me. Everything is just like me except devotion to Krishna, and he is going away. So apparently he is calling him, and it seems the trees are all responding back, because it's like he sees no difference between the trees.
Yeah.
So apparently then he goes, Vedavyasa goes, and Shukadeva Goswami is going, and it seems some women are bathing.
Yes.
So Vedavyasa goes, everybody is covering up. This fellow is 19 years old, he is going, nobody is even carrying.
Yeah.
This guy, Vedavyasa, was thinking, what's going on here? And he comes back and he asks them, when I went, I'm 60 years old, 70 years old, I'm going, you're covering up. My son is 19 years old, you're not covering up. The woman, it seems, responded, this question also, you only came back and asked. Therein lies the answer. That means, to him, everything else, the river is the same as the woman, is the same as
he
the tree.
He says with he doesn't differentiate. basically the Sukadeva Goswami, he was 16 years, he was in the womb. Mother, I don't know, what's her mother's name?
16 years?
Until 16 years, he was in the womb. See, that's why I was thinking, you know, they grow up in the womb, right? Not like the somebody, I don't know who, somebody told. So he was small, but the age 16 years, when he come out, he was, you know, bigger, like he just expanded himself like that. So like I heard
mentally
like that. Yeah, mentally. So but inside, yeah, he stayed in the womb. He didn't want to come out because he thought if he comes out, he will be engaged in the material modes. He will come under the material mode. So he wanted to just stay until, you know, become maybe aware of something. But then after that, he was born immediately, he left. He didn't stay, he left home. He started walking away. Then Vedavas was following the... Yeah, that's a very good example. So any questions on that? Okay, we'll cover one more. So we'll do text 59. Okay, let's recite.
Vishaya निरारस्य देहं रसवर्जनं रसोऽस्य परमदृष्ट्वा निवर्तते विषया विनिवर्तन्ते निरारस्य देहं rasavajam rasopyasya paramam dushvara vartate.
So in this text 59 especially, you know, we are, so how to give up, right? If you have some lower taste for something, so how can we overcome that and taste something higher? So yeah, let's read first and we'll discuss more. Rajeshwari, you want to read?
Yeah. Though the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, the taste for sense objects remains. But seizing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness.
So what's the, we have discussed this before, the analogy, what analogy can we give here? Very relevant, very nice one.
Child eating mud to child eating mud.
Right, that's a very practical one, right? If especially the child, they start eating mud. So only way you can stop them is giving something more, you know, tastier to eat.
Sugar
or chocolate. So same thing here. So you can restrict your senses, but the taste, so that's what I told, right? Newspaper. You know, you read, I'm so used to it. Even I switch off, but the mind, it will be there. Always you'll keep thinking about it, right? That's the taste always remains. But to give up that, what you do? If I'm reading something news, like for example in this, if I'm reading something news, instead of that, if I go and read Vedabase, right? Online there is a Vedabase, all the Prabhupada warnings, there are so many articles about, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada written, so many lectures. If I read that, then that's the right way of using my, the time. And also, the my consciousness also changes. So next time, what I usually do is now, you know, whenever I kind of get that, you know, want to read something, news or something, right? So I sometimes I go read news if somebody tells, right? Otherwise I open, you know, Mayapur or something, you know, there are a lot of the Mayapur temple, very beautiful deities or darshans, right? Online darshan, the picture, they take a nice picture. I go and see all that. And also now, you know, somebody news, right? Now they have news also, like ISKCON, they have news, different temples. They do Ratha Yatra, they put pictures. Nice, now there's online everything, right? So Ratha Yatra recent Jagannath Ratha poetry, they already put the pictures, everything will be there. So you go and read that. So slowly you lose the taste for it. You know? Why? Oh, this guy is coming. So bro, be careful. We'll push the door. So what happens if you, so if you artificially, if you abstain from things, then you cannot make
sustain.
Yeah, you cannot. So you cannot progressively make the spiritual path. So you abstain from something by not tasting something higher. For example, we try to do blindly some things. You know, for example, chanting. We tell you to chant. You keep chanting. That has some benefits. You chant, but if you don't get the proper right knowledge by doing chanting, what happens? You know. No, what's the effect of chanting? Why are we chanting, first of all? We need to understand, because we have anarthas. So if you don't understand all that and if you just, you know, chanting, so at some point of time, you know, some situation comes, then you may say, you know, oh, by chanting it will not help. No, you slowly can give. So just artificially abstaining from something, yeah, it will not help you. But you need to engage our senses, you know, something, you know, like for example, Prabhupada has already given, you know, just not chanting, right? He didn't give us just chanting. Otherwise, he would have told, just chant 16 rounds, you know, you can go back to God. He did not give that one. He gave morning Mangalarti, starting with Mangalarti, right? We just emphasize on chanting, but there are, you know, it's like a sandwich. Prabhupada has given a sandwich. You have one piece on the bread, one piece on the top, bottom. Then everything, our activities, daily activities, because he knows we are not Krishna consciousness all the time. So that's why he has given a morning program and evening program. So everything, other things, so morning you do nice sadhana, take nice darshan, attend Mangala Arati. So you have a lot of determination, you know, you have a nice, so you can go and fight Maya, because once you step out of, to, you know, outside, the modes comes and act. Then when the evening you come back, you will be weak. Modes make you weak, right? Always our mind, right? It becomes weak. Then when the evening you come back, again you attend morning, evening, you know, darshan arti, or remaining, you know, Bhagavad Gita class, and take prasadam and you sleep. So that way, you know, morning you are strong, night you are strong, that way, you know, you can keep up. Otherwise, it's impossible. So for us, Prabhupada is given, you know, Mangala Arati morning, everybody, you know. Whoever is very, you know, they want to make quick progress, this the Prabhupada has said, you know, this, if you follow this, then you can be strong in spiritual life and you can progress easily. Mangala Arati, then, you know, attend, you chant your rounds, then you attend Guru Puja, then you attend Srimad Bhagavatam class, take prasadam and go and do your duties, work, whatever activities we do. Then again you come back in the evening, attend the darshan, attend Bhagavad Gita class, take prasadam. So that way you are packed, your activities are packed, you know, all the things. You don't get affected easily when you go outside. But when we don't do it, then you are always weak. And as we know, material nature is very powerful, right? We cannot counterattack. So what happens in a war? If you go against something very powerful army, and if you are a, you know, weak soldier, you will get defeated easily, right? There's no doubt, they will just crush you and they will defeat you. But for all of us, yeah, chanting is a beginning, but yeah, slowly we will, as our taste increases, we all can, you know, do more to be stronger in devotional service. So you can read the purport to me.
Purport: unless one is transcendentally situated, it is not possible to cease from sense enjoyment. The process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulations is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables.
Mm-hmm.
The patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, sense restriction by some spiritual process like Ashtanga Yoga in the matter of Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, etc.
Mm-hmm.
is recommended for less intelligent persons who have no better knowledge. But once who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord Krishna, in the course of his advancement in Krishna consciousness, no longer has a taste for dead material things. Therefore, restrictions are there for less intelligent neophytes in the spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has a taste for Krishna consciousness. When one is actually Krishna conscious, he automatically loses his taste for pale things.
So small purport, but so much of information, right? So powerful. So the process of restriction from sense enjoyment by rules and regulation is something like restricting a diseased person from certain types of eatables. So what happens if you don't restrict? If somebody has what you cannot
diabetes.
No? That's very popular, right?
Yeah.
If you don't restrict, the person will die, right? Literally, they will die. So same thing, if you don't control our senses, we get strangled. Especially mind. Mind goes, makes people go crazy, right? And of course, Prabhupada is saying, the patient, however, neither likes such restrictions nor loses his taste for eatables. So he is giving example of Ashtanga Yoga. Who is the person who is doing very strict Ashtanga Yoga? Very big money, very, very popular.
Patanjali.
Huh? No, Muni. He is a very famous popular Muni. He was doing Ashtanga, he was doing yoga. But then somebody heard some sound.
Oh, Shakuntala.
Vishwamitra.
Very popular, right?
Yeah.
He is a very, very powerful yogi. We know that how powerful he is. But he was not able to control the senses because he was acting on his own, right? He was doing this Ashtanga Yoga. He was trying to control his senses. But senses gave up when the opportunity came. the best example the Prabhupada gives is the monkey, the baby, right? The baby, the carrying, the monkey carries a baby, and the cat carrying is cub. How does, what's the difference between two, both both monkey and the cat?
The monkey clings to the mother.
On his
cat.
So where is the strength of the, in this case, who has the, who is depending on
the
what?
Cat. The
cat.
Cat
is?
The cat
baby.
Carries the kitten, which is not easy, versus the baby clinging to him.
Yeah, so the monkey, the baby clinges, right? It's holding on its own strength. So it's like this Ashtanga Yoga. So you're on your own. You know, you're trying to hold on, you're trying to practice, control your senses. But in the other case, the cat is very gripped, right? So the baby is safe actually. It may look like, you know, like holding is something happening, but baby feels more secure actually in that case. It's, you know, it's like a nice, safer for it. So that is compared to Bhakti Yoga. Basically, we always depend on the Krishna. So he protects. So that's nice one too. But one who has tasted the beauty of the Supreme Lord in the course of a Krishna consciousness no longer has taste for the dead material things. I don't know how many people so far I've experienced, but I gave up meat eating, I gave up onion, garlic, so many things. Coffee, I never used to drink tea, coffee, so that was not difficult for me. Then the craze for cars, all those things. I didn't put, you know, extraneous effort to give up all those things. I did not. I understood something like from Prabhupada books. It made sense. It was logical. Then naturally I gave up. I didn't find any difficulty in giving up. So it was easy. So that's what Prabhupada is saying. So once you understand and, you know, make advancement, then naturally you will give up automatically. You don't have to put any extra effort to give up. That's what it's here. And Prabhupada is saying restrictions are there for the less intelligent neophytes in spiritual advancement of life. But such restrictions are only good until one actually has set taste for Krishna. Of course, all of us are like that. We are very less intelligent. So slowly, you know, following all these restrictions, it will help us. So once we advance slowly, we can easily give more, you know. Now we can follow. So now we have to follow something, you know. If somebody has, you know, strong taste for drinking tea, coffee and all, before drinking you can always think, you know, oh, it's not going to help me in long term, so I want to give up. So just have a thought. You may do it for, you know, 3-4 times. After that you will realize, you know, why. Then you start feeling, you know, why I'm not able to have the determination to give up. Then when you pray to Krishna, Krishna will give you the determination. So it's very easy actually, because you cannot do on your strength. So depend on Krishna's strength. Krishna will give you the strength. Prayasasya prajalpa niyama braha. I don't know Ashtanga Yoga. Detachment?
Yeah, it's not detachment.
Pratyahara
prayasasya.
Diet
restriction.
We can read something Ashtanga Yoga. I don't know I don't know each of them exactly.
The eighth one is Samadhi.
Yeah, Dhyana, right?
Seven.
Dharana.
Eighth one is Samadhi.
Pranayama. Pratyahara prayasasya prajalpa niyama braha. Dhyasasya salavu. I know other words, but I'm not able to get the meaning of Pratyahara. You can look up
someone
on that.
Someone else's phone?
No. Oh, Pratyahara?
Someone
else. No, something related to restrictions. For sure, I know that
it
one.
It would be like upvas or vrata.
Yeah, something related to restrictions. You.
Yeah, with food restrictions.
Maybe after that, Prabhu can check online.
Yeah.
Just you can check. I think, oh no, let's
it's
check
in
the... Mind. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it should be... We can find out.
It's
later.
Not
withdrawal of senses. Withdrawal of senses.
Withdrawal
of senses.
See, smartphone is useful, right?
See, smartphone.
Yeah, you are right. Actually, prati means away and ahara means food.
So you don't eat too much or you don't eat less. Something is there, I know that.
So to withdraw oneself from that which nourishes the senses.
So basically eating a lot of, you know, anchoring to eat. I know I've read this in other Brahma, somewhere, Nectar of Devotion. So there it said that, you know, you're not attached to eating very delicious and opulent food. You try to avoid eating this. So simple one you take, it works.
Okay, so 8:30. I think we're good. So any questions on this one? By force we cannot do this, right? The taste, whatever the... If somebody forces you, you know, you can do it for some time. After that, you will go back again, you know, to your original or the previous. But if you understand and you do it as a voluntary yourself, then you can continue longer. That's how the spiritual life is. It's all voluntary. Nobody forces you. If somebody forces you and, you know, then, you know, you should always step back and think. Otherwise, what happens is at a later point of time, you will fall back, you know, you will start blaming everybody. It should be voluntary. So you read, understand Prabhupada. Especially, you know, if you start reading Prabhupada books very, you know, from the introduction, it gives you, you know, so much of clarity. What you are doing, why you are doing. First of all, you need to understand that. What's the purpose I'm doing, you know. Then you can do it more with more stronger determination. Okay, all of you are doing. Otherwise we will not. I think we are meeting for almost more than a year now. Okay, we'll stop here.